Well, good evening. Welcome. So glad you're here. Blessed to gather with all of you. So good to see your smiling faces. I see. I made eye contact with some of you and you're like smiling. Yes, smiling faces. Because smiling's our favorite as we go into the season of the movie of Elf. Make work your favorite. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3 as we continue on in our study through the book of Galatians. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. We want to get one into your hand, so please raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we may just give you one anyway because we want you to have a Bible in your hands. So we want you to be able to read the Bible and use the Bible too, but if we have to force one into your hands, I would rather, you know, be held responsible before the Lord and say, hey, you put that Bible in that teenager's hand. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We will get one in your hands. Awesome. And then you can turn to Galatians chapter 3. I've got a couple of announcements for you before we get into God's Word and as you're turning to Scripture. One announcement is this. If you look under your seat, a majority of you will have either a notepaper or a question card and a pen. If you don't have a pen, it's because we ran out, and you can get a pen from someone near you. But these question cards are geared for you, just like we did last week, where you can write a question. We will collect them at the end, because we're going to have time at the end, and we will answer these questions. Now, I have four questions from last week that I will answer first, because they're from last week and we ran out of time. And then we will go forward and we will answer the questions we get tonight. And each week we will answer questions. So if you have questions throughout the week, write it down and come turn it in. If you have questions that you want answered privately, you can, you know, find us on Instagram. We've got an Instagram for the ministry, and you can always Instagram us there and we will happily answer it. No Instagram? You don't have Instagram? Oh, that's okay. You can always wait until youth groups. Well, anyway, we want you to use those question cards, and we absolutely 100% want to answer those questions for you. I have one final announcement, and then we will get into God's Word. This is a very personal announcement, something that's very exciting, and that is we're going to go to God's Word. So, I'm just kidding. My wife is pregnant. That's the best reaction ever. You should have seen me. You should have seen me. This is not good, but right now, so excited because the baby is a kumquat. So it's about like that size. So it's really cool. We got to see it on Monday on the screen. But it was like the best thing ever. Thank you. So anyway, wanted to tell you guys, I've been waiting to tell you guys for a couple weeks. But anyway, the main reason why we come here is we want to come to God's Word. And the cool thing is, as you guys are celebrating this, it's exciting because we're all united together in Jesus and we can celebrate the things that are going on in each other's lives because of what Jesus has done for us. So let's keep the main thing, Galatians chapter 3. We know we're captured. We know we're transformed. We know we're united. It's who we are. It's what we do. We go over that every week. But now as we come to Galatians chapter 3, let's read it together. And I'm going to ask you to do something very important, something we're going to do that's new, something we're going to do that you may not like, but it's important. So if you would, stand to your feet. You're going to want to keep your Bible in your hands because as we stand to our feet, every time, every week that we read God's Word together, we're going to stand to our feet. And what this does is it just gets us positionally ready. It doesn't do anything. It's not like a supernatural thing we're doing, but it gets us positionally ready to understand that this is God's Word. It's holy. It's precious. It's important. You following? So we're going to read God's Word. Here we go. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Wow. Ouch. Who has bewitched you? Man, even worse. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you, Lord, for your word that ministers to us, that teaches us, that instructs us. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left us wondering who you are. You've not left us wondering what you're about. You've not left us wondering what we should do, how to live this life. But, Lord, you've recorded it for us, and it's found here in your word. So, Lord, as we approach your word this evening, I pray that we would keep it holy. That, Lord, we would understand that it's important for us not only to know it, but to apply it. That, Lord, we would be high school men and women who go into our schools applying what your word says. And that, Lord, as we do that, Lord, you would make us more holy. You would make us further and better believers of Jesus. And that, Lord, ultimately through the good works that we have in you, through our faith that we have in you, you would be glorified and so many people would come to Jesus because they see you in us. So, Lord, do a mighty work tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Man, some of you guys like fell down. The main thing I want us to grasp from this text, we're going to look at this text kind of as an overview. It's going to be something that's a little different. Normally I try to go really expositionally, really verse by verse, and really try to get that. But I want to kind of look at this as an overview, this section of Scripture. And so the overview that I want us to understand is this. I am righteous. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am righteous. I am righteous because of the faith I have in the one who died for me. Listen very closely. Listen very closely. I am righteous because of the faith I have in the one who died for me. That's not a very crazy statement. It's not something that maybe is eye-opening because we hear this every single week. But it's worth noting. Memorize it. Keep it in your hearts. I am righteous because of the one who died, or because of the faith I have in the one who died for me. Excuse me. Have you ever read a law? I remember when I was a kid, I used to read laws that were dumb. There was like a book. I remember going to like Barnes & Noble with my grandpa before like, you know, you would Google everything, really, and before smartphones. You didn't have smartphones, so you'd have to go and actually read a book. Crazy. But anyway, times were so tough. But anyway, there was a book that I would always look at, and it was like dumb laws, stupid laws, if you will. It were laws that just didn't make sense, that weren't, you know, maybe even relative. Maybe for you, you've done that. You've read a law, read a rule, or thought of a rule, maybe that even your parents have given to you, that is dumb. Maybe for you, it's even a rule that is really outdated, or a law or regulation that's outdated. I do this for speed limits. Speed limits are rules or laws that, to me, sometimes are outdated. It's really frustrating to me. Like, I live way out in Apple Valley, and between Apple Valley and Lucerne Valley, there's literally this wide open space, and it's called the desert. And you think you see the desert here in Victorville. I'm talking, this is like the legitimate desert. There's, you know, nothing. And so the speed limit there in that road is 55 miles per hour. And I'm like, dude, legitimately, what am I going to hit? Why do I need to go so slow? This is outdated. This is like back when cars couldn't go 55 miles per hour. And so I normally go a little faster than 55. Please petition for the Lord to forgive me. But maybe for you, there's rules that seem outdated. I think maybe some of you come to a place where it's like mom and dad still have a bedtime for you. And you're like, bedtime? Really? I'm not 6 anymore. I'm not 10 anymore. I'm not even in junior high anymore. This rule is just ridiculous. It seems outdated. Mom and dad give me a bedtime. I looked up some of the weirdest and funniest laws in America. I looked up a few of them, and these are laws and rules that regard churches. Look at some of these rules or laws regarding churches. In Alabama, it is illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. But in California, in this youth group, it might be good if we laughed a little bit. We need to, so maybe I'll wear a fake mustache. I can't grow one, so it needs to be fake. I don't know how to say this town, but in Rehoboth, I guess, Delaware, it is illegal to whisper in church. There's some people right now that would go to jail because they're whispering in church, right? It's illegal to whisper in church. You go to jail. In Maine, shotguns, here's one of my favorite ones, I think. In Maine, you're like, Maine, shotguns, what? In Maine, shotguns must be taken to church in the event of a Native American attack. Does that not seem a little outdated to you? I could see how that was relevant back in the day. Like, hey, if there's a Native American attack, you go back home, you bring your shotgun. Okay? Crazy. In Boston, it is against the law to eat peanuts in church. In Mississippi, private citizens may arrest anyone who disrupts a church service. That would help me out. In Omaha, it is illegal to burp or sneeze in a church service. In New York City, it is illegal to fart in a church service. Wait. With the intention of being disruptive. So if you're not meaning to be disruptive, it's fine. No big deal. Kind of that silent but deadly thing, you know? I didn't mean to be disruptive. It wasn't my intention. In Ohio, it's against the law to kill a housefly within 160 feet of a church without a license. What do you do for a living? I kill houseflies. I have a license for it. Went to school for 2 years. In Texas, it's illegal to go to church in a disguise. Many laws and rules that are still around are old and outdated. They were written several hundred years ago. They were written 50 years ago. They were written with intentions of maybe a different crowd, different time, different things going on. Just outdated. They're not relevant anymore. Don't make sense. Now, did you know, as we come to this section of Scripture, did you know that the Bible has some outdated laws? You're like, whoa. Did you know that the Bible has some laws in the Old Testament, some rules, some regulations to live by that are really not relevant to what's going on in culture today? You're like, man, what is this? This is a different type of Bible study that Daniel's teaching. Let me give you some examples. Leviticus 11, 21 to 22 tells us this. We are not allowed to eat any bugs except locusts. It's very relevant to today. Maybe it was relevant when you were like 3. I shouldn't have eaten that roly-poly. It wasn't a locust. You know you did it. That's a little old, a little outdated, not something that's really on our minds. Here's another one. If you work on a Sunday, Exodus 31:14 tells you you should be put to death. Interesting law. Wow, sounds a little scary to me. Here's how this goes further. If you do not obey your parents, I'm in trouble. Deuteronomy 21:20-21 says you should be stoned by the townspeople. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if in the beginning of my teaching, I'm like, hey, who disobeyed your parents this week? Okay, hold on, we got to go in the courtyard. There's some stones out there. You know, you've seen them in the riverbed there. We're going to pick them up and we're going to throw them at you until you die because you disobeyed your parents. Interesting. Here's a really good one. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. I think that's still relevant. But here's my point. I don't mean to just make this a laugh fest. There's a point to this. Before Jesus came, before the times of Jesus, before the revelation, we've looked at that word revelation the last 2 weeks, before the revelation of Jesus Christ, before God revealed himself in the man, Jesus, there were laws, there were regulations. We would have to follow these laws. They seem ridiculous to us now. They seem irrelevant. They seem not important. Before Jesus, the only way we could be right before God, the only way he would see us just is if we obeyed and honored his laws and his ways. And if we fell short, which we all have, especially when I ate that roly-poly, you know what we'd have to do if we fell short? We'd have to offer an animal sacrifice. What would happen is you would have to, depending on which law you broke, You would have to go and take the best animal, the perfect one, the one that was without blemish, which means it has no spots, it has no wrinkles, there's nothing wrong with it. It is perfect. And you would have to go shed its blood. You would have to go make your sin right. Because the Bible tells us this, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So though these laws seem very irrelevant to us, don't make sense to us maybe even, they were important to show us something. They were important to show us that, guess what? We fell short. We couldn't keep the law. It's not my fault that I was bald, you know? I even fell short in that way, if you will. But the cool thing of the revelation of Jesus, the cool thing of what we know now, today, and this day, is now it's the blood of Jesus that washes us and cleanses us of our unrighteousness. No longer do I have to go and slaughter an animal. No longer do I have to go and make things right. It was Jesus who made things right for me. Do you realize how precious and special that was? Do you realize that now, as we're going to see in this text, that we're free from the law, we're free from having to keep it because of Jesus? That though we have fallen short of the laws of God, it's Jesus who fulfilled that law, fulfilled God's wrath against us, and he took our place on the cross. What a great thing that is. What a great concept to hold on to. As we continue through this book of Galatians, we know that this book's main theme is freedom. Freedom, something that we all long for. We find this theme in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And in this series on freedom, we realize that it is Jesus who freed us from the bondage of the law. And if you put your faith in him, you can live a life of freedom. Freedom from the bondage of the law. Freedom from, I'm not allowed to eat, or I'm only allowed to eat locusts. Freedom from, hey, if I disobey my parents, I have to go and I have to allow people to stone me to death. Do you realize that there's freedom from those things? If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, we can live a life of freedom. Now, Paul tonight, as we come to this text, he's going to answer a very important question for our faith. And this is a question that we have to answer in our hearts tonight. And it's a simple question that I think you're going to go, well, duh. But I want to give you a deeper understanding of what this question means. This question is this. Are we righteous because we keep the commandments? Or are we righteous because of Jesus on the cross? That's the question Paul's going to answer tonight. And you're like, well, duh, Daniel, I get it. We're righteous because of Jesus on the cross. But I think it goes deeper than what you may be just reading on the surface. Seems like a simple question, but many times in our lives, when we do good things, we feel good about ourselves, right? You know, I'm honoring mom and dad. I'm serving here at the church. I'm not doing anything that's against God's word right now. I'm reading God's word on a daily basis. I'm showing up to youth group. And what happens is you feel good about yourself, and it even leads you to this place where you're like, man, God must be proud of me, and God must be accepting of me because I'm doing these good things right now. And you feel like you're earning something there. You feel more holy. You feel like, hey, because I'm in God's word, and because he's using me and speaking to me, then I'm in this special place right now, and I feel good about myself. Everything's going right in my life. It leads you to feeling good about yourself. But what about when it's the opposite? What about when you're going through a season of sin? What about when you're going through, like Psalm 23, that valley of the shadow of death? You're in a valley, and you're in a rut. And no matter what you try, you just can't feel like, or you don't see a way out of sinning. That's all your life is defined by right now. I sin, and I go back to it, and I try to get out of it, and you're in this season of sin. What happens here? You're outside of God's word. You're looking at porn in secret. Whatever the case may be. What do? You start feeling unholy, unworthy, like God's mad at you, like God's unhappy with you, God's disappointed in you. So really, the question goes deeper. It's not just, hey, well, I know that it's Jesus on the cross who makes me righteous. I think we still struggle with looking at the commandments, looking at God's word and saying, I have to do all these things in order to earn God's love. In order to earn God's salvation, I haven't truly or fully put my faith in Jesus' dying work on the cross. I've still left some of it in me. I've still tried to balance out that I want to be as good of a person as I can. I still have Jesus to maybe fulfill the rest of the gaps that I can't fill. But you haven't really humbled yourself and go, I completely cannot fulfill anything. Even my good deeds are as filthy rags to the Lord. It's Jesus alone. It's difficult for us to maybe, not difficult to understand, but difficult to apply. So really then, what do you believe? Do you truly believe that you are righteous because of Jesus on the cross? Or do you believe you're righteous because you do good things? Where do your feelings lead you? Do you go through times of feeling unholy and unworthy, and you go through times of maybe pride and feeling great? I think for us as we evaluate ourselves tonight, if you feel unholy when you sin, or if you feel extra holy when you don't, I think you may be in that place where you're not putting your full faith in Jesus' dying work on the cross. If there's times and seasons in your life, I'm not saying there's not times where you're discouraged and go, man, I messed up, and you want to get right before the Lord. But I'm talking about where you just ebb and flow. You're a wave tossed to and fro. You're like, man, one day I've done good things and I feel great. I'm on a spiritual high. And the next day I'm in this spiritual valley and low because I've been unholy. I think I would challenge you in this. And Paul's going to challenge us tonight that you haven't put your full faith in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You haven't done so. And I want to show you a couple things that you can do. The text tonight shows us two things that we need to know about putting our faith in Jesus. Two things that will help us in our walk with the Lord. Number one, we need to understand this. Faith is greater than works. Number one, faith is greater than works. Look at verse 1. It says this. Oh, foolish Galatians. Ouch. Who has bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, Paul says something so crazy. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. This is insane. Can you imagine if I came up and I love you guys like Paul loved the church in Galatia. I mean, Paul loved them and I love you guys. I pray for you guys every single day. I love you guys to death. I look forward to Wednesdays like no other day. And can you imagine, but in my love for you, I came up here, I'm like, oh, foolish high schoolers, what are you doing? You'd be like, I'm not going to come here anymore. But Paul does this. And Paul does it in a way that he's not in sin. He's trying to show how serious this is. Oh, foolish Galatians, you've done something wrong. He asked these questions. Let me paraphrase some of them for you. Why do you believe you are holy because you follow old laws? Why are you finding your holiness, your satisfaction, your hope in the fact that you're following some old law of the Old Testament? You think you're holy because you eat locusts and don't work on Sundays? You think you're holy because you're circumcised and you eat kosher meals? You think that's where your hope and assurance lies? Who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? Who's told you these things? Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive your salvation because of some works that you did? Did you receive it that way? Or were you there when Jesus died on the cross? Did you actually see it? You live in the day when Jesus came, God in the flesh. And he died on the cross. Did you receive the Spirit because of the works of the law? Or was it through your hearing faith? Did you not see Jesus crucified? Do you see the seriousness of Paul's tone? He's like, what's going on in your life? Why are you walking away? Why are you going back to finding your assurance and your purpose in these quote-unquote good things you're doing? Now, what he's doing here is this. Paul's reminding the Galatians of their personal experience in believing in Jesus. There was a personal experience there. All of us have it. If we've believed in Jesus, put our faith and trust in Jesus, we have salvation in Jesus, said the sinner's prayer, went to Harvest Crusade, came forward maybe in a Sunday morning or Sunday evening teaching, or maybe even here at youth group. If you've done that, you have a personal experience with Jesus. And what Paul's doing is he's reminding them of, hey, remember when Jesus was crucified? Remember when you had that personal encounter with him? Remember when you gave your life to him? Remember back to that experience. Remember even how you've experienced the growth and the power of the Spirit. The Spirit's come into your life and there's been growth. You were freed from the law. Do you remember those things? Paul's asking. You remember go back to that day. And Paul's basically asking, why then have you started to go back to your old ways? Who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? Who's robbing you of your freedom? Freedom from the law. This is Paul's thing. What's gone on in your life? I think many times we become much like the Galatians. I really do. I think we are led by our feelings of holiness rather than the faith of Jesus making us holy. I really do. There's times in our life where we feel holy and we're led by that feeling. Today I feel holy. Tomorrow I feel unholy. Today I surrendered and I messed up and I masturbated. And now I'm unholy. I'm unworthy. God must be not happy with me. I'm messed up. Or on the flip side, today I haven't masturbated. I'm good. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I feel good about myself. Led by our feelings of holiness rather than our faith that Jesus makes us and declares us holy. I think the reason for this is when we do good things, it's easy for us to accept God's love. When we do good things, it's easy for us. It's like, it's tangible. It makes sense. It makes us feel better about why he gave his son for us, right? Like, I'm doing this. I'm serving in church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm keeping my purity, and you feel good. You're like, I feel good that God's given me his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. I feel good about it. I've earned it. Or when we do bad things, we feel unworthy and like God can never love us. Like, how dare I do this? How dare I even act like I'm a Christian? How can I even come to youth group? How can I even go back to God's word? I'm unholy or unworthy. It's your feelings that are leading you in your holiness rather than your faith that Jesus is making you and declaring you to be holy. It's easier to trust in our good works than it is to trust in God's work on the cross. It's easier because, like I said, they're tangible. It's so much easier. I know because I go through it. I experience it. That time where you're feeling good. Like, man, I could say this. I preached a great teaching tonight. And I feel good about myself. Like, Lord, you're using me. And this is a great thing. And I kind of feel secure, if you will. We measure the good works versus measuring our faith. It appeals to our sense of needing to earn God's love. But the point that Paul's making here is faith is greater than your works. Faith is greater. That's what God wants. God wants our faith. The faith is better than the good works. Faith tells us we can't earn God's love, that we never will earn God's love, excuse me. And faith tells us it's been given to us. Not that we've earned, not that we can earn, but it's been given. Faith holds strong even when I'm going through a season of wickedness, a season of sin. It's my faith in Jesus, my faith in what he's done for me on the cross that holds strong in those times. But it's also faith that humbles me when pride enters in because I've been good lately. Is that not the case? Is that not the case that when sometimes you're doing good, all of a sudden you have this spiritual pride? And you know what happens is faith humbles you in those moments because you go, man, even these good deeds are not as good as what Jesus has done for me. And even this, it humbles you because you go, even though I've been doing good things lately, I know tomorrow, most likely, I'm going to mess up. I know tomorrow is a new day, and it's not only new opportunities for me to serve the Lord, but it's new opportunities for me to be tempted and to succumb to sin. So faith holds strong when I'm in that season of wretchedness and wickedness and sin, but faith also humbles me when pride enters in. You want to know why? It's because of this. Faith takes my eyes off of myself and it places them on Jesus. That's what faith does. Because we find so much security in ourselves, so much security in what we're doing in the moment. And that's what our security is, because we see ourselves. We don't see God. We don't see him face to face. We weren't there like the Galatians at the cross. We have to put our faith in a God that we've never seen, in the fact that his word declares what he's done. We have to put our faith there, but it's easier to put our faith in ourselves. So faith takes my eyes off of myself and places them on Jesus. Think of this. There's a great illustration in Scripture of this. I'm sure Rick knows where I'm going. But there's a great illustration of Scripture in the disciple named Peter. And Peter was a great man, man of faith. He was a courageous man. He was a man who took the sword and he was ready to defend Jesus and he cut off a man's ear. It's pretty crazy. I mean, that's awesome. And Jesus is like, dude, bro, step down. And he put his ear back on. But anyway, it was Peter. He was just this courageous, bold, strong man. His name means rock. Yeah, it's awesome. But Peter, something that happened with him is there was a moment where in the distance, Peter saw Jesus. And he was on a boat, and the boat was in the water, and all of a sudden he steps out to go seeking after Jesus, and he was walking on water. Walked on water. I mean, like as sure as I'm walking on the stage, he was walking on the water. And as his eyes were gazed on Jesus, as his faith was there, and his mind was set on Jesus, he was good, he was walking on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sunk. And he was drowning. And he was overwhelmed. Lord, forget or save me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help. I'm drowning here. You see, faith takes our eyes off of ourselves and places them on Jesus. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we've got no faith anymore. When we put our faith into anything else, it's us taking our eyes off of Jesus, off of the cross, and it's putting it into something else. That could be a relationship. That could be a girlfriend. That could be a friend. That could be video games. That could be yourself. That could be pornography. Whatever you're living for, whatever makes you feel good, wherever you're finding your satisfaction, your hope, your longing, your belonging, that's what you're putting your faith in. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you giving your heart to? Because that's what you're putting your faith in. That's what you're building your life based upon. And so Peter was fine when he was walking on the water and looking at Jesus. He could walk on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And I think many of us come in and we go, why am I sinking? Why am I overwhelmed? Why am I anxious? Why can't I get out of my sin? Why is all these things overwhelming? Why do I not have a sense of purpose or direction? Why do I not fit in? Why? It's because you've taken your faith, you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, who gives you all those things. You see, faith humbly gives Christ the glory during times of good deeds and victory, but faith also confidently moves forward during times of sin and defeat. Confidently moves forward. Maybe for you guys tonight, maybe you're caught up in sin. Maybe for you it's just been tough, and you don't know why you can't get out. If you put your eyes on Jesus, put your eyes on the cross, on what he's done for you, on the forgiveness he offers to you, the grace that's been given to you, you can be freed from that. This is Galatians, the book of freedom. Jesus comes not to give us a life of bondage where he says, you have to do the things in my word. He goes, no, I declare you holy, for I am holy. I knew no sin, but you knew sin, but I took your place on the cross. Faith has me keep my eyes on Jesus. It has to keep your eyes on Jesus. So if you're in a season of defeat, set your eyes on Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. This is the great thing. And we went over this a lot in the book of 1 John. But the great thing is this. Before you come to Jesus and put your faith in him, before you're saved, before you're forgiven, you're enemies of God. You can't be made right before the Lord. But as soon as you put your faith and trust in him and you're forgiven, you're saved, now you're a child of God, no longer an enemy. You're a child. And you know what happens to the father and the child as the child disappoints the father, as the child sins against the father? Fellowship is broken. It's not that God kicks you out of the family. It's not that God's like, hey, you've lost it. I adopted you, but now I'm ripping up the adoption papers. That's not what happens. It's just broken fellowship. And you know what the father wants? The father is, I'm right here. I want to reconcile. I don't want you to be living this life of sin anymore. I want you to know that I'm here for you. I'm here to comfort you and help you through this time. Set your eyes on Jesus in that time of defeat. Seek his forgiveness. If you're in a season of victory, don't take your eyes off of him. Right? That's what Peter did. He's in that season of victory. I mean, I've never walked on water. If I said I could, if I said I did, you'd be like, you're a liar. I hope you would. If you're in a season of victory, don't take your eyes off of him. Because remember, he's the one who gives you that victory. Second thing we see as we close, this will go quicker, is faith brings blessing. Faith brings blessing. Look at verses 6 through 10. It says this. Just as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Look at what this says. In verse 8 it says, in you all nations will be blessed. What does that mean? It means this. When we place our faith in Jesus and not in our good works, not in ourselves, not in anything else, he gives us a double blessing. There's a double blessing. As we put our faith in him, there's a double blessing we see here. Faith brings blessing. And I want you to understand what this means. It means this. Faith, when I put my faith in Jesus, he supplies two things. He supplies his spirit. There's a blessing of his spirit. And he supplies another thing, the blessing of justification. God both justifies us and accepts us as righteous in his sight, but he also puts his spirit in us. So he justifies us. He makes us right, perfect, righteous. If you've masturbated and you've been in pornography, if you came from a life of homosexuality, wherever you're coming from, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus and as he's healing you through those things, he's justified you, he's made you right. But he's also done something very important. He's given you his spirit. Given you his spirit, and that spirit's going to lead you, guide you, change you. All of a sudden, the things that you found comfort in, the things that you found satisfaction in, the things that you put your faith and trust in before are going to become meaningless. And it's going to take time. It doesn't happen right away. I'm not saying, hey, the homosexual comes to Jesus and all of a sudden they're like, hey, I have no homosexual thoughts whatsoever. It doesn't work that way. Slowly over time, by the power of the Spirit, as you read God's word, as you pray, as you give him those things and say, Lord, I know you've justified me already, but Lord, I want to change. That's the whole captured. You've captured me already, but I want to be transformed. I want your spirit to do this process in me. So he gives us that blessing of justification, but he also gives us his spirit. And you know what that is? That's freedom. That means freedom to us. Justification means freedom. His spirit means freedom. Look at how this works out. I am free because I know I'm righteous before God. I'm free from guilt, shame, and regret. I'm free. Think of the genie on Aladdin. No joke. What did he do when he said he was free? He didn't go, cool, I'm free. Thanks, man. No. As we're free from our guilt, our shame, as we look to Jesus on the cross, we look at our hands and we go, we're no longer in bondage like the genie did. I'm free. And it's this glorious moment where it's like, I could not free myself. But I no longer have guilt or shame because I know Jesus bled and died for me, took my place. The wrath of God was satisfied. I no longer have to wonder if he's pleased with me anymore. No longer have to lay awake at night and go, why am I so messed up? Because Jesus goes, I know you're messed up, but I loved you anyway. I sent my son, or I came myself to die for you. No longer have to worry about the guilt, the shame. And his spirit helps me overcome my fleshly desires. I get a new life, a fresh and clean start. And that's where I think many times we don't move on. We get in our ruts because we forget that we've been given a fresh and clean start. And this fresh and clean start, we may mess it up a few times. We may mess it up the rest of our lives. There may be times where it's like, hey, I'm wiped clean. You know, I've been forgiven. And you start this fresh new life and you're like, I'm reading God's word. I'm praying. I'm doing well. I'm coming to youth group. I'm serving in the church. And then whammo, something happens. You go back to your old sin and you're like, I'm dirty again. I'm messed up. Then you go back to the cross and you go, Lord, forgive me. And you get a fresh start again. And you start over, and you go, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to spend time in prayer, maybe you go a little longer this time, maybe you go shorter, but it's this life of back and forth, ebb and flow, and you've got to realize that it's all up to Jesus, and he gives you his spirit to overcome those fleshly desires, but you've got to live by the power of the spirit. You can't do it in your flesh. You can't, this is something that I've said so many times to Kaylee over the last week. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, but expecting different results. And so many times, even though we've been given this fresh new start in Jesus, what happens is this. We go, I'm going to try to do the same thing and expect different results. You should be in an asylum if you think that way. That's the definition of insanity. So the thing is this. As Jesus has given you a fresh, new life, live differently. Live differently. Don't go back to your old habits. Don't go back to your old lifestyles. Live according to what His Word says. Do things that He wants you to do. Spend time in His Word. You have that fresh, clean start by the power of the Spirit. And now that you're free from guilt and shame and have this fresh start, the question is this. The question I want you guys to ask yourselves tonight is, what are you going to do with that? If you truly believe in Jesus, if you truly believe and put your faith in Him, you've got this fresh start, you're free from guilt and shame, what are you going to do with this new life? What are you going to do? It's up to you. It's not up to your parents. It's not up to your friends. It's not up to me or a leader here. It's up to you. It's your life. But it's been bought by Jesus. He paid for it on the cross. Are you going to go back to your old ways like the Galatians? Or are you going to live a life that's pleasing and glorifying Jesus? That's what I want you guys to think of as you go to bed tonight. That's what I want you guys to think of when you wake up. Is I've been given a fresh start, a fresh life, newness of life. I don't need to worry about my guilt and my shame anymore because Jesus took that. Now what am I going to do? Go back to my old ways or live a life pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You and Lord, we thank You for this time in Your Word, and I thank You just for the fact that, Lord, You came and took our place on the cross. Lord, I admit, and I believe every one of these students goes through times where we feel guilty, ashamed, unworthy. And Lord, I pray that we would look to Jesus. And we would realize that You've declared us holy and worthy if we put our faith and trust in You. Lord, I pray for any of us who may have done this bad balance of putting some of our faith and trust in our good works or in what we're doing as we feel good about ourselves, secure in our good deeds. And Lord, as we've used You just to fill the gaps as a crutch for what we can't do, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to seek forgiveness for that. That we would repent of those things and we would put our full faith and trust in You. That, Lord, we would realize that it's pride to think that we can do anything that pleases You outside of Jesus. But that, Lord, You would give us the confidence if we think we can do nothing whatsoever to please You, as if Jesus wasn't worthy, or as if we weren't worthy enough for Jesus. So, Lord, go before us. Minister to these students' hearts. Bless this time of question and answers. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this. 14 minutes early. Praise the Lord. Yes. You have no idea how hard I've been praying and working so we could get to this point of question and answers. So anyway, like I said, so blessed to have your questions. So if you have questions now, you can write them down. We'll collect them after I answer these four. I'm going to try to. This is what I want to try to do, guys. I'm going to try not to go so in-depth in every question that it's like each question is answered for 10 minutes. Does that make sense? I'm going to try to take each one and answer them in like 60 seconds to like 2 minutes. So here's the deal. What's going to happen is this. There's going to be times where it's like, man, he maybe have glossed over this part of the question or he didn't answer it fully. If one of your questions is up here, please come and if you want further questions or further answers from this question that I wasn't able to answer, please feel free to talk to me or talk to any leader, and we'd love to answer them fully if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Nod if that means yes. If it doesn't, just we're communicating through body language. But anyway, okay. So here's the first question. It's kind of more of a statement than a question, but I have a heart to answer it. So it's this. It says this. I've never heard youth group talk about self-harm, masturbation, or in detail homosexuality. I always hear about pornography, struggle, or depression / anxiety, or just a blanket statement that homosexuality is wrong. Could you change that? So I definitely have a heart to answer this. I want to first and foremost just seek forgiveness if I've ever glossed over any of those things that you may be struggling in, or that, hey, the text was saying this, and maybe I didn't make an effort to really, you know, preach to that part of your heart or preach to that area of your life that Scripture is addressing. So that's what I wanted to do first. Please forgive me if you feel like I've done that. Second thing I want you to understand is I have a heart to address anything in your life. And I believe 100%, my faith is in the fact that God's Word has answers to anything you're going through. It's got the answers to life. It's not just some book that was written 2,000 years ago where it's like, man, it's outdated, it's old. Yeah, it's got those old laws we talked about, but ultimately it's got the answers for anything you're going through. So here's the deal. There's going to be times where the text radically deals with some of the things you're going through. Maybe it directly talks about homosexuality, and I'm definitely going to address it. And maybe it directly talks about purity, and I know something that you guys are really going through, and I have a heart to help you in, is masturbation and pornography. I would venture, and I'm not judging you guys, but I would venture to say at least 85% of you are struggling with that. And so it's my heart to address that from Scripture, not address it in a way where it's like, hey, this is Daniel's wisdom. This is Daniel's guide to life. I don't have the answers. God's word does. I'm just the messenger. And so it's my heart to really address those things. I believe God's word is going to do that. And so I absolutely don't want to do this. I don't want it to be, man, we need to do a series on this. Because I believe we can be led by the Spirit. And I believe as we go through God's word verse by verse, taking the whole Scripture into consideration, He's going to give us the precepts to all types of living, wherever you're at. And the cool thing is this, even if I don't say something out of my mouth, when I declare Scripture to you, God's Spirit can speak to you right where you're at. He does it to me all the time. There's times where I'm sitting in and I'm listening to Dennis on Sundays. And this happened to me very recently on Father's Day. I wasn't a father. And so Dennis is teaching to fathers, and I'm like, man, what am I going to get out of this? But as I read Scripture, the Holy Spirit gave me something that I still remember to this day. So as we open up God's Word, it's the Spirit that's going to teach you and bring those things up in your life that are going to minister to your heart. So that's all I want to do for that. I hope that makes sense. If you want clarity on that, I would love to answer further.